Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that you just calm me down, Lord. I'm raring to go. I love you this morning, dear Lord. I pray now that you would just use me as a vessel, that you can teach this Sunday school lesson, dear Lord, that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, that you would help us now to glean truths from the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures for us. Just make it real to us this morning that we might learn something that we can apply to our hearts and lives and to be better Christians for being here this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us. Guide now and direct, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. What a week. I don't know about you, but I've had a week. Satan has fought at every turn this week. I don't know if y'all knew, but this Saturday we had our first bus visitation soul winning outreach started this yesterday. Praise God, we had 20 people come to go out soul winning yesterday. That's a blessing. I know we found some new riders for the buses on that visitation. There was souls saved yesterday. Praise God. But Satan attacked it and fought it every step of the way this week. And then we come to the lesson. This is my quarter to teach Sunday school. And the Lord laid this on my heart. And I'm so ready to jump into next week. I've got to slow down and get to this week. We're going to teach this quarter, with the Lord's help, something that is prevalent throughout the New Testament, but maybe we just haven't seen it. Our eyes maybe have not been open to it. You know, in ancient days, when warfare was going on and enemies were against enemies, battles were fought differently. You know, they would stand up and face each other and fight. Now you can't tell the enemy from the good guy. They dress alike. They infiltrate each other's troops. But back then, you could tell the enemies from the allies, from their uniforms, from where they stood, from where they placed themselves in the battlefield. But there was one characteristic about these troops that I want to zero in on. Each troop or each army had what they called a standard. And this standard was on a pole, and it was high so that everybody in the battlefield on their troop side could see it. There was one main standard for each army. And this standard was the symbol of their army. This is what they stood for. This is what represented them. It was an outward symbol with a deeper meaning for that army. And through our New Testament, there's two standards that are prevalent. And you're like, well, I don't remember any standards lifted up. I don't remember any standards mentioned. Well, there are two underlying standards throughout the New Testament. The one, of course, is the cross. And the second is the eagle. So this quarter, we're going to be studying the standards of the eagle and the cross. It'll make sense in just a moment. The eagle and the cross. So turn with me in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, and we'll begin this series. Beginning in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Verse 6, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not. Look back at verse 6 and the first part of that. Set up the standard toward Zion. Then turn over to chapter 6 with me, please. Chapter 6 and one verse here in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. I love that. These aren't the words of Jeremiah. These are the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And the Word of God records, but they said, we will not walk therein. Set up the standard. That's what we need to do today, is set up the standard. But before we can do that, we need to understand what our standard is. Not standard principles, not standard doctrines, but what is the standard that we are following? You might say, with your lips and with your mind, I'm following the standard of Christ. But does your life and testimony say the same thing? In Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and Jeremiah 6, verse 16, notice the action verbs here, especially in verse 5 and 6 of Jeremiah 4. It says declare, says publish, blow, cry, gather, assemble, go, retire. That word retire means to take refuge. And then in verse 16 of chapter 6, stand, see, ask, and walk. These are things that your standard should cause you to do. It should cause you to declare what you believe. It should make you want to publish out in the streets and the highways and hedges what you believe. It should make you want to blow your trumpet and declare it so others can hear it far and wide. You should cry out about your standard. You should want to gather to your standard and ones like you that believe the same as assembling together. You should want to go forth for your standard and go forth with your standard where it directs you. You should want to retire or take refuge under the standard. And then, of course, you should stand for your standard. See where your standard is and follow it. And you should ask, where is my standard that I may know and know more about it? And then walk in its light. So what standard does your life and testimony reveal about you? What standard is your life and testimony saying you're lifting high? Not with your mouth, not with your mind, but what is your life, what is your heart saying about your standard? What standard does your life and testimony say that you are following, that you're assembling with, that you're gathering with, that you're declaring, that you're seeking refuge with? What standard does your life say that about you? The standard that a person follows conveys much about that individual. A person's words, a person's actions, their motivation, their reasoning for doing certain things or not doing certain things are directly related to the standard they are following. It shows the priorities they have in their life. Remember, on the battlefield, you look out and you see this army on this hill over here, that standard's raised high. And the one that's raising the standard high, he has a weapon, but it's usually sheathed. His job is to carry the standard. And of course, the opposing army wants to take that standard. So people are to protect the standard and the standard bearer. The armies are to look towards the standard, for it gives direction on the battlefield. This quarter, with the Lord's help, we'll be studying two prominent standards found in the New Testament and the people that followed them, the eagle and the cross. These followers of these two standards had very different characteristics. These characteristics defined their lives and what they believed, what their motivations were in their life, what their priorities were in their life, what the outlooks for their life were. So as we study these individuals, we will notice very quickly what standard they're following, either the standard of the eagle or the standard of the cross. These standards were outward symbols, as we've said, with a much deeper meaning. The standards that they follow can be defined by, of course, these two words, the eagle and the cross. As we study these standards, I pray, and it's my prayer, that the Lord would instruct us and reveal to us what standard we're following. So first, let's look at the standard of the eagle. The eagle was a prominent symbol, and really, after about year 100 BC, was the prominent symbol of the Roman Empire. It was especially the symbol and the standard of the Roman legions, the armies of the Roman Empire. Wherever the Roman legions went after about 100 BC, that was the standard. The eagle, the golden eagle, was up on the top of their standard. And they followed that standard. And there was a deeper meaning to that eagle. It was an outward symbol of their strength. It was an outward symbol of their courage and of immortality. To the Roman soldiers and the Roman population, the eagle standard was their standard. Before the year 100 BC, they had five standards, five different animals. Eagle was one of them. They changed it around 100 BC to have one standard, the eagle. The eagle was believed to be the king of the birds that could ascend above the storm clouds and become a messenger to the gods. The eagle was held in such high regard by the Romans that they said its power from Jupiter, their main god. In Greek he was called Zeus, and in the Roman mythology was called Jupiter, their head god, their main false god, that Jupiter gave the power of himself to the eagle that took it back to the Roman legions. The eagle was extremely important to the Roman military, beyond merely a symbol of the legion itself. A lost standard, the lost eagle, if a legion went out and they lost their standard in battle, this was extremely grave circumstances. And the Roman military went to great lengths to protect the standard or to try to recover it. There is three legions that lost their eagle standard in history, and they spent years trying to get those standards back. They were devoted to their standard. As a standard for the Roman legion, it also proved a strategic tool. In the chaos of battle, troops would often look for the standard. Where is the standard? They would look for the standard to orient their actions. This is the way we're to go now in battle. They would look to the standard, often saying the commands were given not to move but a few steps from the standard. Gather around the standards. Assemble around the standard. Protect the standard. When legions set up camp, the eagle standard was the first thing to give prominence in the camp. It was planted first. It was given its own tent. And it had the most protected area of the entire Roman legion camp. They set great store by their standard. For any Roman legion, the eagle was its heart and soul. To lose the eagle meant the end of the legion until it was recaptured. The eagle was also a prominent symbol used by the Romans in religious beliefs. According to ancient mythology, the eagle would carry the soul of certain individuals into the presence of the gods. Most importantly, at the death of their emperor, it was believed by the Romans that the eagle carried the soul of the emperor from earth to heaven. And from that time, he was worshipped like a god. That's the Roman standard, the eagle. Who in our New Testament followed the eagle standard? Who in our New Testament followed the Roman standard? I can think of many just off the top of my head. Caesar Augustus is a Roman emperor, as mentioned in Luke chapter 2. He was following the Roman standard. How about the centurion that is at the cross and he's looking up and he's in charge of the group? He is following the Roman standard. How about Cornelius, a centurion that sends for the apostles to come and speak to them? Or we could talk about Herod, an appointed Roman official, or Agrippa, or Felix, or Festus. Many throughout our New Testament followed the Roman standard. Have you ever really thought about how much the Roman Empire is in our New Testament? The Roman Empire was the governing body over the land of Israel during the New Testament days. And those that were Roman citizens either followed the standard of Rome or they found Christ and they followed the standard of the cross, or they were somewhere in between. So through this study, we're going to look at those that followed the standard of the eagle through our New Testament. What characterizes their life? Why did they follow this standard? And was there a change in their life? Is there anything that we can glean from their lives? But then secondly, there's the standard of the cross. The cross of Calvary is the prominent symbol of Christianity. And may I say, it's an empty cross. My cross, my Savior is not on the cross anymore. He doesn't have to go back to the cross. It's an empty cross. The cross is the standard of Christianity. Some churches and denominations utilize the cross more than others. The cross was a cruel instrument of torture and punishment of the enemies and criminals of the Roman Empire, as well as other empires before the Romans. However, this was the instrument, this cross was the instrument that God used in His eternal plan to lift up the Son of God, that all men may see Him, be drawn to Him, and look on Him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. We don't worship the cross. We don't rejoice in the cross. We do not utilize the cross as a symbol of our religion for the most part. We look at our Savior. Hebrews tells us to look unto Jesus, not look unto the cross. We utilize the cross as that symbol with a deeper meaning of our religion. As the standard of our religion, this is where our Savior gave His life. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. The cross didn't kill Jesus. The punishment and the pain of the cross didn't kill Jesus. It says He gave up the ghost. He gave His life for us. Maybe in our standard we should change it in Christianity to be an empty tomb with a stone rolled away in front of it. Can you see people with little gold chains around their neck with an empty tomb and a stone rolled away? The cross is just the symbol that we have taken as Christianity and the movement forward of Christianity. It's our standard. The cross is a reminder to all of Christendom of what Christ suffered for us. It's a cruel and painful mean of punishment. God placed upon Jesus Christ the sins of the entire world, past, present, future. He had placed upon Christ the sins of the entire world while He was on the cross. Christ took upon Himself our sins, and God the Father had to turn His back on His Son while He was on the cross. We don't worship the cross. We worship the Savior. And who's the Savior but Jesus Christ? The cross is just a symbol, a reminder. It's a rallying point for Christians. Gather at the cross. It's a place of dedication. Run to the cross. It's a place of forgiveness. Declare the cross. It's a place to go forth from proclaiming the gospel. Walk in the light of the cross. It's a place of consecration. Bow at the cross. It's a place of humility and surrender. The Christian standard of the cross is the symbol of the love of God He has for all of mankind. Christians should live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, holding the standard of the cross high in our hearts. Does Christ set a prominent place in your lives? He should. Set the standard high. Set the standard high. What standard does your life tell that you are following? Are you willing to protect the standard? Are you guarding your mind and your mouth and your heart and your eyes? Are you protecting the standard? Are you following the standard by giving your heart and your life, your talents, your time, your treasures, your ambitions, your goals, your desires to obediently follow the standard, the will of God? Are you willing to fight for the standard? In our world today, Christianity is under attack. The rights of Christians are under attack. And Christians are letting them be taken from us. We're not fighting for our rights. We still have the First Amendment to the Constitution. And it's being taken away little by little by little. Are you willing to fight for the standard, or are you just going to sit down and say, that's all right? Just recently we went to the rally for the marriage for one man and one woman. I don't know how many thousands were there. I don't know if they ever said. There was a lot of people there. There was a lot of young people there. They took a stand for their standard that day. They were willing to be held accountable and say, I stand for the standard. Fight for the standard. Be willing to fight for the standard. Just take a stand for what is biblically right. Confess before men our Savior. Speak up for the Lord in these days when men at every turn are trying to tear Christ down. I still have a bloody religion, do you? I pray I never even try or think to take the blood out of this religion. Because it's without the blood, there's no religion. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We need to fight for our standard. People have given their lives for what they believe through the histories. Look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. Where are we at today in that? Look to the standard. When in the midst of battle, temptations, trials, and persecutions, look to the standard. Now again, the cross is the symbol. It has a much deeper meaning. We are to look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're looking unto Jesus. The symbol of our standard is the cross. You know, on the standards of the Roman Empire and the Roman legions, at the top is this huge golden eagle, and his wings are outspread. And right below the eagle is a round disc. And right in that middle of that disc is a picture of the emperor. That deeper meaning for the Roman legion of the standard of their cross, of the standard of their eagle, is they're following the direction of their ruler, their king, their emperor, to the point where they worship Him. Christians, our standard is the cross. And a deeper meaning of the standard of the cross is Jesus Christ. He is the one we should be following. He's the one we should be obeying. He's the one we should be getting our direction from, our marching orders from, our orders from. Which way you want me to go? What direction do you want me to go? How do you want me to do this? He's the one we're to be worshiping. So which standard are you following? Which standard characterizes your life? You say, well, I'm not in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire doesn't even exist anymore. What kind of question is that? You know what the Roman Empire standard represents? It represents self. Worship of man. Worldly ambitions. Carnality. And pleasures for the moment. Does your life, does your testimony reveal to you that you're following that standard? Are you living for today? Are you living for carnal things? Are you living for the world? Are you putting yourself and your self-ambitions and goals and desires and dreams above those of God? Then your life is saying your standard is the eagle. Or does the standard that characterizes your life one that promotes Christ? One that lifts up Christ, that worships Christ, that dies to self, that has in its heart and mind heavenly and divine causes, eternal things, things that are pleasing to the Lord. We can all say that with our mouths. Oh, I'm living for Christ. I'm doing what Christ wants me to do. I'm living a life for eternal things, not temporal things. We can say that easily with our mouths. But what does your life say about you? What does your life characterize you about? What standard are you following? Back in Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse number 6, the Word of God says, set up the standard toward Zion. Where's Zion? Where's Zion? Come on, class. Jerusalem. It's another word for Jerusalem. And what is Jerusalem in the Old Testament but the place of God? That's where God was worshipped. That's where the sacrifices of God were given. They could not be given anywhere else but in Jerusalem in the temple. And he's saying, set up the standard toward Zion. And then he says, retire. That doesn't mean stop, sit down. That means take refuge, run to the standard. Gather at the standard. Assemble to the standard. Get your direction from the standard. It says, set up the standard. And I'm going to ask you today, are you setting up the right standard? And are you following it? In the New Testament, lives that are characterized by the standard of the cross are easily seen. Look at all the apostles. Look at the disciples, the followers of Christ. Look at the love that Mary and Martha had for Christ. Look at the love of Lazarus for Christ. Look at Mary Magdalene and her love for Christ. Look at those followers that were willing to give everything they had, and they did, even their lives, to follow the standard. And we can look at the life of Paul and Timothy and Titus, Epaphroditus. So many people we could look at. Barnabas. Their lives are characterized by following the standard of the cross. So in this study, we're going to look and compare one that follows the standard of the eagle and one that follows the standard of the cross. And we're going to learn, I pray, and the Lord would reveal to us lessons from those individuals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank You so much for all that You do for us. Thank You for the standards that we have. I pray that You would help us through this study to see what standard our life is characterized by. God, now in the next service, bless our pastor. Give him the strength and the power he needs to bring forth the Word of God. Speak to our hearts and lives, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.